Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and welcome to another edition of Perspectives on Healthcare. Today, we are doing a patient's perspective on healthcare. Now, this is a little bit different because it's not part of the patient's interview marathon, but I am getting a patient's perspective from Marcia Moran. She is from Virginia. She is a member of the baby boomer generation. She is a stroke survivor. And Marcia, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about your experience in healthcare, please.
Okay. So I'm married to a retired Air Force officer, and we live in Northern Virginia, and we've been here for 22 years. I currently have my own coaching business for people with brain injuries, and I came by accident. I had a stroke in 2014. And when I was released from the hospital and rehab hospital, I had physical, occupational, and speech therapies. And I had home health care for 6 weeks and outpatient care for 8 weeks, where I continued occupational, physical, and speech therapies. Then, according to my insurance company, I was done. Clearly, I wasn't done. And I had to figure out how to work with someone. And I found a physical therapist who worked with me for a year. At the end of our time, I looked like I could walk normally, and I didn't, of course. But a physical therapist or doctor would tell, not the normal person. But the problem was I still had aphasia, and that is a communication disorder. If not cured by the third month, the National Aphasia Association says we'll probably have it for life. And I didn't like hearing that, right?
Sure.
So I kept looking around for a doctor who would get me out of aphasia. And at 3.5 years, I found a holistic doctor who gave me IASIS microcurrent nerve feedback, and it was a miracle. So after 16 sessions, I talk like I do today. So I have been seeing doctors, nurses, therapists, and chiropractors pretty regularly since March of 2014.
Okay. So you and I have a little bit in common. You know, I've got a spinal cord injury that I acquired when I was 21. I spent 6 months in the hospital. And when I got out, I had probably 6 more months of occupational and physical therapy. And it was very much an experience where I didn't feel like I had reached my full potential, but the occupational therapist explained to me that because she could not document that she could not produce documentable progress, that the insurance company was no longer willing to pay for it because they, you know, there's no progress being made. They felt like I had plateaued. And I feel like I've made so much more progress since then, but I had to do it on my own. You're feeling a little bit the same way, in which you're looking for other practitioners that are able to give you the support you need when insurance isn't doing that. Can I just go back and ask a little bit about with your stroke, where was it something that, were you leading an unhealthy lifestyle before that? Was it a genetic, do you have a genetic marker for that? Or was it just something that happened out of the blue?
So I had a carotid artery tear, and when it had a blood clot, it let the blood clot loose and it went up to my brain. And they had no way of knowing that I could have that happen. So it was totally out of the blue.
Okay. And are there, just for anyone out there as a public service, is there anything that people should be aware of or anything that people should be paying attention to when it comes to stroke prevention, or do you have any ideas for that?
Yeah. Okay. So, you need to eat healthy, you need to exercise, and you need to drink moderately or not at all. And really, it's if people leading a healthy lifestyle are less likely to have strokes. Now, I had a healthy lifestyle. I ran 3 or 4 times a week. I had no cholesterol problem. It just happened.
Okay. And I mean, you can ask me the same question about spinal cord injury, right? Like, you know, there's no history of spinal cord injury in my family and anything like that. It's just sometimes as you're going through life, things happen and you have to deal with them. I want to digress from the 6 questions. I have a surprise question for you and I apologize for that. But can you talk to me about healthcare heroes, people that you have met in your journey who are doing it right? It sounds to me like your aphasia doctor would fit into that, but can you just talk to me about who you would say is a healthcare hero?
Oh, so the chiropractor who treated my aphasia and got me better is totally one of my heroes. But when I look at heroes, I actually look at the holistic side of medicine, because the holistic people are looking at the whole body rather than an arm or a leg or something else like that. They're trying to figure out how you can be better as a whole person, not as a part of someone. And so you said name one. I can't name one because I have actually a number of them.
Okay. You know what? I think that it's okay. The description that you've given is something that we can learn from to say, okay, if for people that are in healthcare provision, just take a look at this. Here's a model for you to consider, think about people holistically. Okay. So what does quality healthcare mean to you?
So when I think of quality healthcare, I think of the chiropractor who treated me for aphasia using the neurofeedback device. So admittedly, he's not a neurologist, but he is someone who looks out of his comfort zone and looks at what's coming down the pike. And because of that, he tries things that he thinks are good just to see if he likes them, see if they work. And if they work for him, then he brings them into his practice and he uses them on other people. So when he got the IASIS machine, he said, "Marcia, I've got something that I think is really special and you would probably like it. Here's the URL. Please go home and look at it and see if this is something that you would like." And so I went home and I looked at the website and it said that this IASIS microcurrent no feedback machine helps you get over ADHD, anxiety, depression, a whole lot of stuff, right? And stroke was in there. But the most interesting thing is it said that 85% of people who had mild to moderate traumatic brain injuries got better when they used this. That's a pretty big percentage. And it also said that I wouldn't get worse if I tried it. So I had very little to degrade me from saying, no, I won't try this. And a lot going for, if this works, I will have a lot to be thankful for.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. And it's so interesting to hear you say it. Like, it is, when you look into this thing, it says basically you're not going to be worse for trying this. It may make you better, but it won't end up being worse. Okay. And you've kind of done this, but can you give me an example of quality healthcare?
So when you go in with a problem and you sit in the doctor's chair and he listens to what you have to say. I'm looking for someone who actually listens. not someone that goes, okay, well, we'll do this. And he's preconceived what he's going to do. I don't want that. I want someone who actually understands that I'm a person who wants to be taken care of like a person, not a number, right?
Yeah.
So he understands. And then when I come back next time, he wants to know how I did, how I felt, what was I different, you know? So it's not just the same old, here there's someone who I treat and then I'm done and then I come back. But here's who someone I treat, and when he comes back or when she comes back, I'm asking, how did it go? What did I do that worked? What did I do that didn't work? How can I be better?
Yep. So what I'm hearing you say is it's sometimes we go to the doctor infrequently enough that we only go when we have an issue. So I go and, you know, I've got a cold and so I get treated for that. And then I go home and I don't go back until the next time when I have, you know, the flu or whatever the situation is. And there isn't a connection from one visit to the next.
Right.
But what you're talking about is trying to make sure that not only is the person viewed as a whole, but that their history is viewed as a whole, so that when they're coming in, it's okay. Last time you were here, you had this going on. Where are we with that? And it's not just addressing whatever the presenting issue that brings the individual into the office that day. How does that resonate with you?
It resonates fine.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure that I'm properly understanding what you're saying. So good
stuff.
Yeah,
I wish I'd said it your way.
No problem. What do you wish that people understood about your experiences in healthcare?
That's interesting. So I found that the healthcare community is really helpful, but that's not the only helpful thing you can find. So for example, I think that I am part of the healthcare community, even though I don't have a doctor or a therapist moniker before my name. And this is why. So when I was 1 year out from my stroke, I started writing a book called Stroke Forward, How to Become Your Own Healthcare Advocate One Step at a Time. Because I knew nothing about strokes. And my husband knew nothing about strokes, and he had to learn the hard way, which is every day in the hospital, when someone said something, he had to learn, what is that? What does it mean for us? So I've learned a lot over the years about stroke. But it's not just the book. There are so many brain injury groups out there, and I go to a lot of them. So what did I learn from those? I've learned that every stroke is different. Every TBI is different. They need to be treated a little bit differently. So last year I got a certificate in coaching because there needs to be that level of support for brain injury survivors, and there's not that much. So I guess I think you need to look at the whole community, not just the doctors and nurses and therapists, but also the people around them.
Yep. It's so correct. The medical community has to involve everyone from practitioners and patients, because quite frankly, without either of them, the whole system falls apart, right?
Yep.
Patients without practitioners are not going to be receiving quality care. Practitioners without patients have no purpose. So it's got to be a community of all together and working together. And I really give you credit for learning what it means to be a self-advocate. You've got to be as knowledgeable about yourself and about your condition as possible. And I think this is important. I do speaking about quality healthcare, and I talk about the fact that my spinal cord injury is different than everyone else's spinal cord injury. Yep. So I know I need to know as much as I can about spinal cord injury, but I also need to know myself. Yep. And I need to be able to in an educated manner, talk to medical professionals about what's going on with me, what's going on with my body, to make sure that we're coming to a mutually agreeable plan of care that mm-hmm. will work for both of us moving forward. So what excites you about the future of healthcare?
Well, unfortunately, I think healthcare providers are in a pretty sticky spot right now. For one thing, they're undermanned. And so I think we need to shift the way that we think about healthcare for ourselves. And we need to take some responsibility for it, right? So we need to work on exercising. We need to have a healthy diet. If there is a type of medicine that is prescribed to us and we're not really sure, we should talk about it with our doctors. I will tell you that after my stroke, I had some things prescribed to me that I didn't think I needed. And I went to the doctor and I told him that. And he said, well, I said, look, I'm sorry, but you really need to take this away. I went, okay, we'll try it your way. And my way is working. Well, you never know. But you also need to know that there are sometimes, again, like I said, the holistic side of medicine, sometimes you can work on your body in a different way and maybe you don't need medicine, right? So you just have to think about what works for you, the individual, and find some doctors that will mesh well with you.
Yep. Yeah. So what I hear you saying again, though, when you say when you need to find something that works for you, so many times people in our culture take that as they look for the easy way out. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
When you say find what works for you, it's not just like, you know what, I want to sit in my, you know, in my living room and watch TV and eat, bonbons. Okay. That might feel like it works for you, but it's not actually a healthy choice. You need to, you need to take control of your life. You need to take responsibility for your actions and find something that works for you in the sense that you've done the research and you know yourself, and it's not the easy way out. It might be difficult, but it's going to work. All right. Last question for you. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
They need to have an open mind. There's so much that is being discovered right now that if they have an open mind and they listen to at least what's going on and check it out, they can decide right now, that's not right for me or this is right for me. But if they're closed-minded, then I think they're going to fall behind.
Got it. So you're encouraging doctors to have a growth mindset. Look for ways to increase your knowledge. Look for alternative forms of treatment. Be up to date on the advances that are taking place in your field, and be willing to try something new and different. Is that about?
Yes.
Excellent. Wonderful. Listen, Marcia, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Listen, I have an announcement for all of my listeners, and that is, it turns out that there is a duplicate Perspectives on Healthcare podcast entry in Apple iTunes. And so one of them is going to go away at the end of the year. Make sure that you go to the website and are subscribed to the right one. It's going to be in the show notes. It's the link on the website. Go to Perspectives on Healthcare just to make sure that you are subscribed to the proper feed, and that when the wrong feed goes away, you won't be missing out on Perspectives on Healthcare. Marcia, again, thank you for being here. I appreciate you, and I appreciate you sharing your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.